I'd like to pose a couple of questions to all of us today from the gospel. It's an interesting gospel because Jesus is on trial. But what he does, he turns the tables on Pilate, puts Pilate on trial. Pilate starts asking questions and Jesus asks questions in return. And in putting Pilate on trial, really, these questions are also directed at us. Because Pilate's very indecisive here. He's struggling. He's in, he's out of the praetorium. He's struggling to know what to do about Jesus, how to factor him into his life, and yet not have him do too much damage. This Jesus guy, I think he's innocent. My wife told me to stay away from him, and I think he's innocent, but I can't allow him to do too much damage in my life. Does this sound familiar? An awful lot of people want to have this kind of a relationship with the Lord. They want, if you will, to kind of keep him harmless and at a distance. He's there to kind of help me occasionally, but basically, leave me alone. Don't do too much damage. Don't make too many demands. Don't make me change my mind on anything. Don't make me make a decision that might impact my career, and so on. And that's Pilate. We think of Pilate as a big, strong leader, but basically, Pilate's just like you and I. He's full of fears and difficulties, and he's trying to figure Jesus out. So with that in mind, I just want to talk about two questions that come from this gospel. The first is that Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus then answers with a question of his own. He says, "Do you say this on your own, or have others been telling you about me?" Do you say this on your own, or have others been telling you about me? You know, I think that that's an important question for all of us. Do we say what we say about Jesus on our own? Or are we merely repeating formulas and lines from a hymn or something that sounds right that we heard our mother say or our grandmother or our pastor or someone say? Now, by the way, that's not a bad place to begin. Remember, faith does come by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And so don't go and invent your own religion. You know, if you hear something odd from that doesn't sound like Jesus, you might want to check it out with his word. but again, it's a good place to begin. Faith comes by hearing. And whatever we think and know about the Lord, we want to make sure that it's rooted in the revealed truth of Jesus Christ in the scriptures and the teachings of the church. But brothers and sisters, there comes a moment or a time in our life when we need to begin to say not simply, who is Jesus Christ for you? Well, I don't know. My mother says, or the Bible says, or my pastor says, and all that's good. But now here comes the moment. What do you say? Is this true for you? It kind of sounds funny to put it this way. Are you a witness or just a wonk? Now, you've heard of a policy wonk? You know, someone who can quote they can quote the law and they can quote the manual, but do they really? So we can quote stuff, but do you really know the Lord? Have you met him for yourself? Are you saying this on your own? Jesus is King. He's Lord. Are you saying this on your own? Because he really is King and Lord of your life, and you come to know and experience it, and you see that he's taking authority over your life, and he's putting sin to death and bringing grace alive, and he's shedding truth, rays of truth in your mind, and you're knowing new things, and you're changing, and he's leading you and shepherding you and guiding you and ruling over you. Are you saying that, or are you just quoting formulas? I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the Holy Son, our Lord, is confused. Right? Okay. Now, just memorize the creed. Say the creed. Stick to it, please. Don't add anything. Don't take anything away. All right. But really, at the end of the day, I do believe, and here's why. You move from being simply someone who quotes formulas, who quotes things from others, and you now begin to become a personal witness. A witness is someone who speaks to what they have seen, known, heard, and experienced. That's a witness. Now, that's the first question then for you and for me. Is Jesus Christ your king? Because, well, if he's Christ the king, I guess he must be. What do you think, huh? Yeah, sounds right. Sure. Jesus is king. Let the church say, amen. And that's all good. It's a good start. But how is he your king? Where's your witness? Where's your testimony? How is he taking authority over your life? How is he driving out the enemies of demons and fears and sins and so on? How is he doing that? Do you have something to say about that? All right. Now, you know, and I've given you this example before, but we could do this with any aspect of the faith. You know, I suspect many of you are grieved that some of your adult children never go to Mass anymore. And, you know, and of course you could say to them, well, you know, you ought to go to Mass. And they, how come? Well, because it's a rule. And it is. It's also a very serious sin to miss Mass. Yes, it is. But really, honestly, why do you go to Mass? I know most of you to be very faithful here almost every Sunday. Why do you go to Mass? What do you get out of it? What is going to Mass and in this liturgy and receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist and getting to confession, what have those things done for you in your life? Do you have anything to say? Or are you just sort of saying the thing because it sounds right? And you see the idea? So this is what the question that Jesus poses is all about. Do you say this on your own? Or is it just that others have been telling you about me? The question of his kingship, the question of anything that we ought to do, think, or believe. Do you say this on your own, or are you just repeating formulas? And that's where you and I have to sit there and pray, you know. How do I know this? How can I witness to the truth of this? I've tried to model that for you in my own preaching, but first of all, because I learned it from you. I mean, you taught me. You know, that it's not enough for me to stand up here and recite bromides and repeat formulae and just quote from text or quote from the saints. Good though those things are, I have to be able to stand before you as a witness that in the laboratory of my own life, I have tested this word and I have found it to be true. And here is what's happening in my life. And my life is changing since I met Jesus Christ. And I am going from A to B. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be because a change has come over me. Yes. Now, I'm sincere about that, but I'm also trying to give you a model. Okay, can you speak in those same terms, you see? And that's where we talk about becoming witnesses. Today, you know, I was born in the early 60s, and I think that was the end of an era. Back in those times, I think it was often sufficient to simply argue from authority. Well, the church says, or the bishop, or the pope has said, or the Bible says. You know, that was perhaps sufficient, but brethren, we've been through a cultural revolution, and one of the big pillars that was knocked out in that revolution was any respect for authority. In fact, if authority says this, it's all the more reason to hate and despise and doubt it. See? That's an awful lot of attitudes that swim around in this culture, and that's why witness, personal witness, is so crucial today in evangelization. It's simply not enough to argue from authority. Maybe it should be, but it just isn't. We have to be able to show forth a transformed life that knows, not just knows about what we're talking about, but knows what we are talking about. So the first question, do you say this of me? You say I'm a king. Do you say this on your own? Or is it just that others have told you about me? Is Christ your king? If so, how? How is he king in your life? Now, another way of bringing this in for a landing a little bit is that we could, if we're not careful, allow the idea of kingship to become an abstraction. Yes, he's king. That's right. Sounds right. Crown him with many crowns. And we start singing and we talk about kingship, but it's rather abstract. And so Jesus kind of brings this whole thing in for a landing. And he says something at the end that I want to say. If we're going to call him our king, Jesus particularly centers his kingship on a concept that is requires us to get very focused. It says here, you say I am a king, and yet for this I was born. For this I came into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Well, he just brought kingship in for a landing. He just says, if I'm going to be your king, you better start listening to me. Look, I'm the one that fished you out of the mud. Now you come over here and listen to me and let me teach you. And you need to begin to change the way you think about a lot of things. You need to change the way you're living your life and commit yourself to listening to the truth, to conforming to the truth, and to doing the truth. Otherwise, I'm not really your king. You can call me your king. I have come to testify to the truth. And Jesus goes even further. He says, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. Now, my brothers and sisters, there's an awful lot of things that go on in our mind that are not of Christ. And they need to change. It has to go. We believe a lot of lies, errors, worldly thinking, worldly priorities. There's a lot of stinking thinking up there. And it's got to go if Jesus is going to be our king. And we've got to allow him to testify to the truth, and then accept that truth that he himself has announced and that he himself is. I am the truth. If I am your king, I am also the truth. And you've got to start listening to me and changing your mind about a lot of things. You know, think of the crucial moral issues today. Abortion, contraception, euthanasia, so-called gay marriage. Think of other critical moral issues today about immigration. Think of crucial moral issues about the care for the poor, about end-of-life issues. Think about marriage, divorce. Now, we say Christ is our king. The question then is, do you agree with Jesus Christ on all those issues and what is taught clearly in the scriptures and what is taught clearly in the teachings of the church? Or are you really listening to other voices more? You see, too many Catholics who call Christ their king are really more listening to whatever political party. They're going to take their views on abortion, or they're going to take their views on religious liberty or immigration or care for the poor more from the guys up the street or the political party or the political philosophy or from pop culture, what some singer says. Or from what they hear on the news, they're going to take their views and conform to those more than to Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus says, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And anyone who belongs to the truth will listen to my voice. Yet too many people, who has the throne in your life? Is it really Jesus Christ? Or is it the guys up the street, the guys over there at the Supreme Court or in the Capitol? Or is it to someone who's, you know, a leader in pop culture? Or is it just the culture itself? What forms your thinking on the crucial moral issues of the day? And how about your priorities? Are your priorities that of Christ? What's more important, your vocation as a Christian, as a father, a husband, a wife, a mother, or is it your career? What really has the throne in your life? What really has the priority? Is it the Lord and what he would have to do, or is it the guy who writes and signs the check? You know, Father, I got to earn a living. I get that. But really, honestly, if it came down to it, your boss told you to do something that you knew Jesus said not to do, what would you do? Well, Jesus will understand. Who has the throne? And so we've kind of brought kingship in for a landing, haven't we? We can kind of kick the tires now. It's getting a little, that's like we're back to Pontius Pilate. Look, I got this guy Jesus here, and I'm really uncomfortable because I got to make a decision about him, and I just want to make sure that decision doesn't impact me too much. I don't want to have to change the way I think. I don't want to harm my career. I just kind of need him to go away. I don't want to harm him. I don't think he deserves to die, but I just don't want to have to decide in a way that will impact me. See? And that's where kingship can get a little uncomfortable, see? Because the king calls the shots. So maybe to just wrap it up, this question is before us. Is he your king? Well, first of all, are you saying this on your own, or has this just been telling you? And hopefully we covered that. And now simply this question. Okay, he's my king, and he says, but here's what I want you to really focus on if you say, I'm your king, that you will listen to the truth that I announce to you in my teachings and scriptures, in the catechism, the teachings of the church. And I want you to conform your life to them. And whatever your political party or your friends or whatever someone else thinks about these issues is not important. What's what I teach you. You will conform to my understanding about abortion or same-sex marriage or any of these things that are in the culture today or immigration. I want you to listen to me. Now, brothers and sisters, one of the little sidebar here. An awful lot of people have strong opinions today in our culture about a lot of these issues, and they have never even taken the time to open up the catechism and read on these topics. They just, this is what I think, and we're done with this. Anyone, this is why I came into the world, says the Lord. This is pretty central. This is why I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And anyone who belongs to the truth will listen to my voice. My kingship is I want to be your teacher. I want you to listen to me. And I want you to conform to my teachings. And I want you to do them. Too many of us don't even take the time to know why the church teaches or the scriptures say certain things that seem a little odd today, the way culture's going. So the question again, is he really your king? Is he really my king? I have to ask these same questions. You know, over the years, I had to discover that some of my ways of thinking are not of Christ. And once I discovered that, at first I was mad. Change, and I don't like to be told what to do, and I think this is crazy teaching is just plain wrong. And don't, you know. And then I study more, and I let the Lord go to work. And over the years, I've found that my mind and my heart have been changed and conformed more clearly to the Lord's teachings. And I still am making my journey like you. But I beg you, my brothers and sisters, before you go like this to some church teaching, before you go like this to some scriptural teaching that's just old-fashioned, and you just pick up the voice of the culture, let the culture sit in the throne that belongs to Jesus Christ, would you please crack open the catechism or call old Father Pope or buy my 300 questions and answers on the Catholic faith, or do something to actually find out why, and let the Lord go to work. That throne in your life belongs to him. Those guys up the street, guys in the culture, none of them died for you. Only one person ever died for you. And he deserves your loyalty, and he's the king. Pardon the tough homily, I didn't think it would come out quite that tough today, but praise the Lord, Jesus is king, but he's not just king, because let's dance and say he's king. It's a kind of a, we're like Pilate, we're squirming a little today, okay. Jesus, you're the king, try not to do too much damage in my life. He just says, I'm king. Start listening and let me teach you and let's make a journey. Jesus Christ is the king of the universe. Amen.